Rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances. Really? When I heard that in the lesson, yeah, I got a bit cynical about St. Paul and his attitude, you know. How am I supposed to do that? Really? In the church calendar, this is known as Rejoice Sunday because the Bible texts are all about rejoicing. The first lesson, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. The psalm, with shouts of joy. The second reading, rejoice always. Because, as the gospel says, the light shines in the darkness. God takes away the sin of the world. So rejoice. Pope Francis had a message that's called the joy of the gospel. Now, the Gospel of John is sometimes called the Book of Signs because it frames the Jesus story as a journey deeper and deeper into faith and understanding, a journey marked by signposts that Jesus uses to point us the way on that faith journey. Right now, our world is full of signs for our journey to the manger. There's shiny lights and shiny ornaments, and we are told to shine with joy. Joy is supposed to be our sign to the world of what Christmas means. But how can we rejoice at all times, considering the world and the situations that so many people find themselves in, whether on the very local, individual level of those who are suffering right now, or on the global public stage of disasters and wars? How can we be a community that reflects joy without being dismissed as people who, they just don't live in the real world, who sugarcoat with platitudes and feel-good God messages like, God doesn't send you anything you can't handle, or God has a purpose for your pain, or, well, if God can change night to day, then he can turn your burdens into blessings. The real joy comes from taking a page from the Virgin Mary, whose song about rejoicing in God reminds us that the joy stems from what God is doing for all people, the justice that God is proclaiming, that the lowly are raised up, the mighty are cast down, and the level playing field makes everyone a winner. She sings that this is God's doing and that that's the reason for rejoicing. Not the stuff we get compared to what others have. Not the comfort we get when we're grateful not to be uncomfortable. Not smugness over better families and relationships that we have while forgetting that these pale beside the relationship with God that God is offering everyone equally. It's a joy that comes from grasping the cosmic dimensions of the fulfillment of God's promises. John's gospel, we just heard, opens with a cosmic image that reminds me of the prologue from Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. It goes like this. The poet's eye, in fine frenzy rolling, doth glance from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The forms of things unknown. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Turns them to shapes. The Word became flesh and lived among us. And gives to airy nothing a local habitation and a name. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John, in Bethany across the Jordan, and grows to something of great constancy, howsoever strange and admirable. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. He saw Jesus and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Something strange and admirable. A good description of the sacraments. Baptism and Holy Communion make the cosmic local. They connect ordinary common elements, water for washing, bread and wine for a meal, each individual ordinary person living in finite time and space, connected to the cosmic, to God's glory in the eternal now. They take forms of things unknown and turn them into shapes, giving to airy nothing a local habitation and a name. We look at the ordinary, the elements, the local, all too human congregation, this flawed people, and yet in them, all the signs that point to the transcendent God with us. As John the Baptist said to the curious, "One whom you do not know stands among you." Now, all this may sound like just so much smoke and mirror talk, incomprehensible without the lens of faith, but guess what? The secular world gets the sign language all too well. Christmas tree coloring pages are banned in our schools. And Metro is rejecting an ad because it has a picture of shepherds in silhouette. No one worships trees and shepherds, so why are they considered third rail controversial? Because they are signs. They point beyond themselves to a faith that distresses some people. They point to a light that some would prefer not to see. You, like John the Baptist, like trees and like shepherds, are also a sign that points to that light. But unlike the trees and shepherds, you cannot be banned. We're like John the Baptist. We don't do miracles like Elijah. We don't create new teachings like the prophets. But we, like John, witness, as the Spirit gives us words, witness to what Jesus means to us, doubts and all. And being a witness to light means living in a state of joy. Joy is how we reflect the light of Christ. I'm sure you can point to particular times and places when God has been present to you, whether in the kindness of others, or in life's blessings, or in the love of friends and family, or in your deepest pain when no one understood. The people to whom John was pointing out a Messiah, a Savior, were people living under Roman occupation, looking for a liberator, and John spoke to that yearning. You live in a very different time and place, and only you can know the deepest yearnings of the people that you come into contact with every day. So you are ultimately and uniquely situated to speak to them of light and freedom and acceptance and joy, the things that God wants them to have. John knew that he was not the one doing the liberating. He knew his boundaries, and he was firm about them with anyone who tempted him to be more than what he was called to be. And that's a great lesson for us as people who are signs. We need to be like John in knowing our boundaries, knowing what word to say and what word not to say. Because knowing your boundaries means you won't overfunction, trying to take responsibility for the happiness of others, which is only going to end up making you anxious and depressed. No congregation, no person is called to do everything, and is no congregation and no person is responsible for the happiness of others. You reflect your own happiness. Their happiness is not your responsibility. Know your boundaries and help Advent know its boundaries too. We don't have a preschool or a soup kitchen because that's not our call, But we do have support ministries for the less fortunate in Arlington, and we do provide a spiritual home for people that are in transit in their lives, spiritually or academically or vocationally or relationally. We know our boundaries, who we are and who we aren't. And living within them, whether yourself or a congregation, living within your boundaries means that you can live joyfully. Knowing and living within your boundaries means that you can live joyfully, rejoicing at all times. Joy is Christ-like. When we're joyful, we're acting in the character of Christ. In this congregation, you can learn and receive joy from Him. And then with your presence here, you can join in the mission we have of telling each other where to find joy. Christ invites you to come with joy and receive Him, the Word made flesh, handed over to you with love. And for that we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.